Dan Clayton writes for the Salt City Hoops and locked on to what's going on with the Jazz at Dan Clayton on Twitter. Is that right, Dan?
Yeah, Dan Clayton with a zero. Some intrepid other Dan Clayton beat me to Dan.
Oh, the nerve. So at Dan Clayton zero on Twitter. Great. I have to throw that in. I got to follow you here. Here we are 2 days out, and we always hear about all the work's been done, and the Jazz, Walt Perrin and company, they've traveled thousands, hundreds of thousands of miles, establishing connections with players and doing their research. And where are they right now? What do you think's going on in the war room? It's probably a little calm right now. I'm sure they have their scenarios A, B, and C, depending on where they fall and what they want to do. What's your gut tell you now, Dan?
Yeah, so I think the Jazz are one of those teams that tends to focus on kind of a tier model. So I don't think they necessarily have specific players that they're focused in on, but I think they'll probably group guys according to similar level in terms of what they could expect those ceilings to be. They haven't worked out a lot of the top tier prospects in this draft, which is a little funky, but that's not new for the Jazz, and it's especially not new for them picking where they're picking. I think when you're 12th, it's hard to get guys that are projected in that top 10 to want to come work out for you, and especially when, like the Jazz, you have young players at every position, and in some cases, two players deep at every position, at some positions. So I wouldn't pay too much attention to, who they've been bringing in for workouts. Obviously, Walt and Dennis Lindsay, they have a lot of ways to see players at group workouts, scouting over the years, video and that sort of thing. And I'm sure they have a pretty good understanding of, at this stage of the game, who's going to be there at 12 that they think could potentially be a rotation player for the Jazz.
And one of your latest columns on trades, talents, and tiers at saltcityhoops.com. We're with Dan Clayton, one of Salt City Hoops' great writers. You've got a great staff there. You write, it's interesting. It makes sense why Utah is considered a likely actor in the trade market. Utah clearly needs to address its suspect depth. And I appreciate your saying that because a lot of people are, they treat the franchise with kid gloves and they want to talk about all the upside on the team, which is immense. It's a talented young team, but look at the West, and this is not a playoff team. Let's address the reality. I mean, the West is, a lot of money, a lot of talent, and the bottom feeders I've talked about. Minnesota's getting better with Tibbs, and the Kings are going to be better with Jaeger, and I think Cousins might one day get it, and the Lakers aren't going to be at the bottom for long, and Blazers somehow, turned it around in a year. And I think there should be a little more urgency than there is. Is it going to maybe, and I don't want to use the word urgency in terms of how the Jazz are going to approach the draft. That sounds like panic. But, I mean, do they sense that, I'm glad you said suspect depth because, that's a reality. The rotation needs work.
Yeah, it's interesting, Tom, because, if you look at last year and the guys that were getting not just rotation minutes, but like major minutes for the Jazz, and granted, a lot of that was because of the injury situation. But if you're playing Chris Johnson 20 minutes and you're playing Joe Ingles 30 minutes, and those guys are fine players, and obviously they have NBA skills or they wouldn't be playing at this level. But if you're playing those types of minutes, it's going to be pretty hard to win, the 45 to 50 games it takes to make the playoffs in the West. So I think they are focused, and from Dennis Lindsay's comments when the season ended, it sounds like they are starting to kind of flip the emphasis a little bit to, finding people who can contribute right away. That's why I wrote the column, really, to focus on kind of what the objective should be and to say, first of all, to say that we need to stop, shipping out guys like Gordon Hayward and Derek Favors in these trade proposals.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
Right. I mean, that's just, those guys are playing at a level that's really hard to replace. And I know fans get frustrated sometimes about what those guys aren't, but, Gordon Hayward is a top 30 player in the NBA, full stop. Derek Favors is, a 16-8 guy who's an above average rim protector and also can switch out and take ball handlers on the pick and roll. So, I mean, like, those are pretty elite skill sets, and to trade them out of impatience just seems really, the wrong move to me. But the other reason I wrote that piece is just to say, I think that the Jazz are sitting at a spot at 12 in this draft where they're going to have some people come calling, and it might make sense this year to use that pick to either find a veteran or even just to trade backwards and maybe pick up some extra assets and some extra rotation pieces, for being willing to give up that 12 spot.
Dan Clayton writes for Salt City Hoops. Great point. I mean, the knee jerk is, okay, you need to get better. Well, they in order for them to be relevant in the West, and that's the phrase I use, I'm talking semifinals, I'm talking playing in May and June, you need to have Favors and Hayward and more, not move them for pieces. You need, those are the pieces. You need to have those guys and more. You need Lyles and Devin Booker. You need guys in addition to who you have. You need to add and get better. And you need, at some point, they have to get shooters. That's how Quinn Snyder wants to play. He wants to run. He wants to, play a lot like Golden State, have, a fluid rotation with a lot of different skill sets. He wants length and, Exum, while we wait to see who Dante Exum really is, and maybe free agency is the way to go. But they need scoring and depth? And, their points per possession is way down, and their defense is really good. But part of that reason the defense is good is, yeah, they're good, but they also, the possessions are fewer. So they're having to defend a little less than other teams.
Yeah, for sure. They play a grinded out game, and I think that's a function of their personnel. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they promoted Rudy Gobert and then moved Derek Favors to the four. And I think in doing that, you're kind of acknowledging, hey, we're going to play a Memphis style game instead of a Golden State style game. And that's fine. I think that the Jazz can win that way. And to your point, I think they can be relevant that way. My thing is, and you said it, Tom, it's really about they need to add at this point. I think that they have a really interesting front six or seven guys that if they all pan out somewhere towards the top of their, best case scenario range, they don't all have to hit, 100% of their potential. But if they get most of those six or seven guys kind of leaning high within their expected range, then I think they've got a pretty good start. But nobody wins a title. Nobody goes deep into May with, six guys. And I think, the point about Golden State is not that they have great shooters, although they do. It's that they have, at any point of the game, they have five guys on the court that they trust to make decisions with the ball. They can pass, they can handle, they can defend. They just have smart players, and yeah, a lot of them can shoot. So I think shooting will be a priority for the Jazz this offseason, both on Thursday's draft and then when free agency starts towards the latter end of next week. But I think they also just want to get smart, multi-skilled players at every position, and obviously they're off to a good start there.
Yeah, no doubt. That's a great point, that the decision makers and basketball IQ and then length, it's been something that Dennis and Quinn have talked about, and length, is part of defense. It's also part of finishing and getting into the lane and having those long, like the Kirilenko gadget arms and all that's part of building a team. Do you think there would be any move? Like, is there anybody, if they're moving up, is it for Murray or Hield, or is there somebody that you'd say, wow, if presented with the proper scenario, they might move up to get this guy because he's special and would be a rotation addition?
Well, I think where the Jazz sit relative to the tiers, Chad Ford of ESPN does this great column every year where he kind of identifies what the breaks are in the tiers, and he goes out to GMs and finds out which guys are considered, all-star potential, starter potential, high-quality rotation players, et cetera. I think the Jazz are sitting at the back end of one of the tiers, meaning, he has 13 guys in this draft that his people, the GMs around the league expect will be high-quality rotation players, and the Jazz are at 12. So I think if they move up, it'll be to jump tiers. I don't think you really want to give away assets to get a guy who, nine or 10, who's similar to what you can get at 12. The guys in that tier above where Utah is, you're talking about, Dragan Bender, who's a really popular guy. And I've heard from people, although this is kind of secondary, but I've heard from people that the Jazz are one of the teams that are kind of intrigued by Dragan Bender. He's the Croatian kid with kind of kind of a Porzingis or Dirk Light sort of skill set.
Mm-hmm.
Jamal Murray, Chris Dunn are probably going to be gone long before the Jazz. You're probably going to have to get into the top five to get guys like that.
Right.
I think that's the tier they'd be looking at if they're moving up.
Yeah, that's a great point. And, it's so specialized. Now you're talking tiers and all this. That would lead to the speculation about moving back if they felt like they could get something and move back and get about the same kind of a draft tier that at 12, maybe at 18 or 19, they might get the same kind of guy at 13, at 12 or, something like that. Would that be the move to head back?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're in possession of one of the last spots where you can ostensibly get, high-quality rotation player, then you're going to have a lot of teams that start to get desperate when the names they like start dropping off the board at 9, 10, 11, and you're going to get some phone calls at 12. So one of the things I've done at Salt City Hoops, the last couple of years, and I haven't updated it this year just because there's not that many new deals to add, but I've looked at the last 16 years worth of draft day trades to see kind of what is the market. What do you usually get if you, are offering the 12th pick to the marketplace, or what does it usually cost to move into the top 10, et cetera. And, teams in that range, 11, 12, 13, that want to move back, usually they get a pick that's pretty close or and another asset like a starter level player or another good value draft pick. So for example, in 2012, the Rockets dealt the 12th pick, Jeremy Lamb, for 14 and kind of a low level starter in Sam Dallenberg. So like, that's a great trade. If you can move back two slots and you get yourself a starter, and no, he's not an elite starter, he's not a top 10 guy at his position level starter, but if you can move back two spots and get a guy
two players, yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that's a good deal. Same thing happened when Kelly Olynyk was dealt at 13. Dallas got the 16th pick and two first rounders. In 2014, Chicago dealt number 11, Doug McDermott, for 16, 19, and a 2015 second round pick. So, I think that might be what the Jazz look at, but they'll only do that if there's a guy in that next tier down who they think is a sleeper and they think that they've got a beat on a guy that the rest of the league has ranked maybe a little lower. And let's be honest, Dennis Lindsay has done a good job of finding those guys who, who maybe the rest of the league says, oh no, he's a pick in the 20s, and the Jazz are really excited about him.
Yeah. Well, Gobert jumps out at you, and Hood. I mean, the only real hiccup is the Burke thing, but those things happen to every team. Everybody misses. That's the nature of the draft, and his pluses are way more more on record than any steps back that they've taken. What about free agency quickly as we're winding down? Dan Clayton of Salt City Hoops. That seems to be the popular narrative, is how you go get role players, shooters, rotation guys. The veterans who can shoot in the league and they're not coming out of college. It isn't a little bit of a roll of the dice. And then you always have to factor in, do they want to come here and play? That's always, they have to have contact with agents to find out if these guys are even, would even consider it. That's obviously going to be an area that they have to explore too.
Yeah, I think, for one thing, you mentioned, do they want to come to Salt Lake City and play? And that's a real thing. I had a chance to talk to a retired NBA veteran a couple of summers ago for a piece I did on Salt City Hoops, and kind of gave him anonymity so that I could get him to answer honestly, like, sure. Hey, is this a real thing? Like, do guys really dread going to small market teams like Utah? And, he kind of said that, yeah, it is, and it's a few different things. It's small market, it's cold weather cities, it's all those sorts of things. But I think what we're seeing now in the NBA, if you look at signings like Greg Monroe last year in Milwaukee, he took Milwaukee over a similar offer, and New York was offering him the same money. Some other teams were interested. I think what you're starting to see is this new breed of NBA star who they'll take a good basketball situation. You know what I mean? Like, they want to be part of a program that they believe in and a program that's headed the right direction. Now, the next question is, do you still want to go to a program that's headed in the right direction if you're looking at the Jazz starting lineup and saying, where do my minutes come from?
Right.
So the Jazz may need to decide this year if they're going to go, you know, give a sales pitch to some of these first and even second tier free agents. That may mean taking a player like Rodney Hood or Dante Exum and saying, hey, your minutes, you know, you'll still get 20 to 25 minutes a night, but it's going to come off the bench.
Right.
I think that's a question the Jazz need to answer going into free agency, because, you know, none of those free agents are going to want to, you know, come to Salt Lake City and you know, wave a towel for all those young guys.
That's great. Well, that's a great point. It's big boy basketball now. If the Jazz want to be relevant, they may have to rattle, you know, some of the cages and upset some of the egos of the guys they have on the team. If you're bringing in guys who are better or might be a better contributor with more minutes and you're going to get 20 instead of 30, well, that's life in the big city. That's life relevance in the West, you know. Those are some of the realities that, you know, you can't always please your best players because you're trying to get better. And I think that would be welcome to Jazz fans to, you know, bring in better guys and have competition. And like this whole idea that Dante Exum has been anointed, I love the kid, but we don't know.
Yeah. No, I'm a believer in Exum too, but I mean, you're right, Tom. Every single title team has made those types of decisions along the way, right? Golden State brought in Iguodala, even though that meant, you know, maybe slowing Harrison Barnes' development a little bit. You know, or this year, you know, Cleveland's paying how many millions of dollars to Kevin Love, and they sit him at key moments in the fourth quarter of elimination games to play Tristan Thompson instead. Like, at some point, you have to stop worrying about, you know, making those playing time decisions with your checkbook.
Right.
You know, that's one thing. And then the next thing is, how do you get better and how do you improve? And, you know, Rodney Exum, even the quote-unquote big three of Hayward, Favors, and Gobert need to understand that nothing's holy when you're trying to really ascend to that first tier of relevance in the Western Conference or in the league.
Exactly. You're a lottery team. I mean, you might, you know, have young talent. You're a lottery team, and everyone's going to have to sacrifice to win. Hey, Dan, great stuff. Great checking in with you. Follow Dan at DanClayton0, right? And
Dan Clayton with a zero instead of the O.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I just like confusing people.
No. Well, you got me. At Dan Clayton, the number zero, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
And, of course, at saltcityhoops.com. Keep up the good work. I know you'll be busy the next couple of days. Thanks so much. Great stuff. Enjoy reading. You keep it up. Thanks, Dan.
Sounds good. Thanks, Tom.